Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. And we will focus on verse 16 as the central core of Paul's gospel. We've been studying Galatians. The first two chapters of Galatians deal with the origin of Paul's teaching on God's marvelous grace. And the point Paul wants to make in the first two chapters is simply this. Paul's gospel is not from men. And because its origin is from God directly through revelation, do not violate the marvelous message of God's wondrous grace, unmerited favor that He has extended to us through Jesus. In chapters 3 through 6, He will work out its implications of that marvelous doctrine of His grace, that we are saved by unmerited favor and we are kept by God's marvelous saving favor. And He has been building this in these chapters. Paul is angry when he writes this letter. Why? Because there were people who thought that they could please God through works. Now, we have to be careful here because the gospel of God's grace doesn't mean we can live like hell. But it does mean that there is nothing good in us that can save us, and only God's grace through Jesus Christ is what avails before God. That is it. And Paul's going to say something this morning that's going to rivet the central focus of the teaching of Galatians in Galatians 2:16 that is very important. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law. The word justified means you're not made righteous before God by the works of the old covenant. We're going to show you this morning, and I'm going to tie this all into what we're going to do this morning in this morning's picture. And you'll say, you crazy preacher, you think you? Well, I'll try. Let me read that. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. If you stand before God this afternoon, it's been almost a year since they tried to kill me in that accident. Remember that? You never know. We were going home. Boom! Never know. 1 year almost. Car was totaled. People were in the hospital. But if you stood before God, there is one thing you could never say before God. Lord, I earned the right to stand before you. It says here, a man is not justified, declared righteous by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. I want to bring that out this morning. I want to tease that out. The reason why we don't quite understand the implications of this is because really, we're not good students of the Old Testament. Not even God's people in the Old Testament were good students of the Old Testament. They didn't get it. I like to listen to a lot of stuff, and I listened to this one attorney. Terry's going to have to forgive me for this illustration. But I was listening. He was a very well-known defense attorney. And I put him on my iPod. And he was talking about the fact that if you're pulled over by the police, shut up. Don't talk. And he was giving illustrations. And one of the illustrations was, Terry, you know I love you, Terry, so this is not personal to you. If a cop pulls you over, he said, don't talk. And he gave reasons why you shouldn't be talking. Say nothing. That's why I'm always afraid, because on Christmas Eve, if we have Christmas Eve services, they're always pulling me over in Fillmore, and they're asking me, have I had anything to drink? And Sarah, my daughter, will know the turmoil that puts me in, because I have the right to remain against Fifth Amendment, against self-incrimination, and they had to have probable cause to pull me over, which they didn't, and now they're asking me to witness against myself. I'm a rebellious kind of guy. So I sat there on Christmas Eve several years ago when they did it, and I was just staring at him going, what would the picture look like in the paper? Oxnard pastor arrested for resisting or something like that. So I decided I will tell him, and I went, no. And that's all I said. But I violated what this guy was saying to me. And he was saying, why you shouldn't talk? And here's what he said. One of the reasons why. There are over 10,000 laws on the books. You know, this ignorance of the law is no excuse, he said, is wrong, because there are so many thousands of laws on the books that they can find you guilty of a law that you don't even know of. Keep your mouth shut. That's hard for me. I'm in trouble at faculty meetings and all sorts of stuff. You say, well, what does that have to do with this? Well, it has a lot to do with this, because I want to show you when Paul says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. It's the same thing. The law is designed to get you. By the way, here is when they read your Miranda rights. Let me tell you this one. You know I love you, Terry. Okay, here we go. You have the right to remain silent. If you give up the right to remain silent, anything can and will be used against you in a court of law, the attorney said that I was listening to as I run. Notice the Miranda right is not to exonerate you, it's to what? It's to incriminate you, to get you. Shut up! Well, guess what? That's what the Old Testament law does. The Old Testament law incriminates you and condemns you. Now we want to show how this is so clear in the Old Testament. But in Galatians, there's a group of people that think they have the hubris to think that they can keep all 10,000 of the rules. And let's see what happens. Let's look at this. In Exodus 19, if you will go there with me, Exodus 19, by the works of the law, how many will be justified? First generation out of Israel, or out of Egypt. Nothing personal to Al, who's in Egypt. But when God's people left Egypt, they got out to Sinai. And God laid the law down to them. And here is what it said in Exodus 19. 5 and following. Thank you, Rosemary. I know where I'm going, but sometimes I don't make that clear. Now then, if. Do you see that word in 5? If. See it? If. If is what we call a conditional word. If you do your part, I'll do mine. If. What if you don't do your part? You're in a lot of trouble, right? Watch these conditional sentences in the Bible. If you will keep indeed my voice, obey it, keep my covenant, then what happens? You shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. So what's the if here? If you do what? If you obey what? If you obey God's covenant, then you'll be my people. See, this was conditioned. And guess what? And you shall be to me kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Now, what happens if they don't do the if part? They won't be God's possession. They won't be a kingdom of priests. They've got to obey. That's the old covenant. That's the 10,000 laws that they've got to obey. Now, God is doing this on purpose to teach them a lesson. So Moses came in verse 7 to the elders of the people and set before them how many words? Please circle that word in your Old Testament, because the word all becomes the very important focus. He spoke all these words which the Lord commanded him. If you obey all, then you will get this. God was teaching them something. Guess what? The bankruptcy of not being able to keep it. And look what the people said. And all the people answered and said, what in verse 8? I've kept all 10,000 laws when you read the Miranda rights to me. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And he said, Lord, I got good news for you. They said they'd do it all. Now, go to 24, verse 3. It's enough to say it once. But let's go to 24:3 of Exodus. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. Have you ever looked at all the ordinances of the Mosaic legislation? It's amazing. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this, don't do that, don't do this, do that. And the people with one voice, woo, said to the Lord, here we go, verse 3, all the words which the Lord has spoken, what? We'll do. How many times is that? And with one voice. You've got to go through the Old Testament law. They couldn't wear cotton and wool together. How many of you have cotton and wool together right now? Come on. How many of you love lobster and shrimp? You're out. You're out. Verse 7. So he ratifies it with blood. And Moses took blood, sprinkled it on the altar, and then he took the book of the covenant. That's Moses' legislation. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt. And he read it again. How long did that take? You ever read through that? That would have taken quite a while. He read it in the hearing of the people, and they all said, guess what? Verse 7, what did they say? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be what? Promises, promises, promises. If you obey, and will obey it all, well, let's go to Numbers chapter 14. It's 2.5 years later. Probably not even that, to be honest with you. And they've blown everything in the book. All the alls are nuns. Not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S. Nothing personal about nuns, but nun, N-O-N-E. They've done it. Nothing. They blew it all. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them. Verse 20 of Numbers 14, according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt, in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. How many times did they promise God that they'd obey it all? How many times did they obey it all? None. And guess what happens? Shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. So how do you inherit the land in the Old Testament? What do you need to do? And if you don't obey, guess what happens? So here's what happened. For 38.5 years at this point, everybody 20 years and up, I'm only 19, so I don't make that group. Anybody 20 years and up, march in a circle for 38.5 years, 70 funerals a day for 2.5 million people, 2.5 million people, until they're all dead, and guess what they don't get to go into? Why didn't they get to go in? They had to obey it. They promised to obey it and didn't. You get bupkis is the word for it. You get nothing. Now listen, there's a reason why God does this. The law had a purpose. We're now beginning to see the purpose of the law. As much as you think you can, guess what? Okay, now we go forward. And I'm going to leave this so we can take our picture. Hey, we plan it this way. Okay, you ready? We go to Deuteronomy. It's 40 years later. All the people that said three times, all will do, all will do. How much did they do? Now, the law is holy and just and good. The purpose of the law, though, is to show us you can't be perfect before God. You can't. Now they're in the second generation. The young whippersnappers that were 20 and below are now around 40. It's a young generation. The young people think they can do it. So here is what God decides to do. It's kind of like that statement in one of my favorite movies, Cool Hand Luke. You ever see Cool Hand Luke?
What we have here is
What we have here is failure to communicate. And I always liked that movie because that character always reminded me of getting into trouble a lot. You know what I mean? Always getting into trouble. Anyway, God says this. Okay, you second generation, you want to get into the promised land? You want to get into the land flowing with milk and honey? Come here. I'm going to divide you into two groups. Some of you are going to stand over there. And some of you are going to stand over there. And actually, they're standing on two different mountains, Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim. Let's look at this. Moses also charged the people, verse 11 of Deuteronomy 27, on that day saying, when you cross the Jordan, you're going to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And I want six tribes to stand on. Can you imagine 1.5 million people divided up into two, standing on two mountains? What must the neighbors have thought when this happened? I can just see all the Philistines and everybody else going, what are those people doing? You know what I mean? And Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin are going to pronounce the blessings. Here's the blessings you get when you obey. What an object lesson. And on the curses if you disobey, I would like on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali, they're going to pronounce the curses. So the Levites shall answer and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed is the man, verse 15. Can you imagine these two groups? One's going to shout blessings, the other's going to shout curses. Cursed is the man who makes an idol, verse 16. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary. Cursed is he who misleads the blind person on the road. Cursed is he who distorts justice to an alien, an orphan, and a widow. That's why one thing we'll never do here. We will never touch widows. Boy, that's what makes God mad. Do not do stuff like that. Cursed is he! 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 25. Cursed is he! Cursed is he! And look at verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by what? So here's the conditional clause. You want God's blessing in the old covenant? Do it all, or you're under a... Let's go to the next verse, chapter 28. Now, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, diligently, and obey some of His commandments. All of His commandments. Now look, God is not asking for some. God is teaching an object lesson here. For blessing and to be in the land, although God is patient, what did God require of these people? Some or all? Not 99.9. How much? 100%. Could you imagine taking a test in which it's either 100% or you fail? That's a one-question test. If you answer wrong, and all these blessings, if you do it all, shall come upon you. What do you get to get all the blessings? How much do you need to obey? And you shall be blessed in the city. Blessed in the country, verse 3. Blessed by having many children who will turn around and put you in an old folks' home and treat you terribly. Be blessed in your basket and in your kneading bowl. Blessed going in and coming out. You won't have any enemies that will go against you. The Lord will fill your barns and bless you. Blessing, blessing, blessing on the other mountain is pronounced. But what's the condition?
All.
Look what it says in verse 15 of chapter 28. But it shall come about, if you shall not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do. Verse 15, what word is used there? Huh? Here's where all means all in the Bible. If you do not do all and keep every one of them, then guess what you get? All the... You want all the blessings. Everybody wants to hear from the preacher how God wants to give you all the blessings. Well, read the fine print. The blessings require obedience. Cursed will you be in the city. Cursed will you be in the basket. Cursed, 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 cursed. And we're going to leave it right there because we're going to stand on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim and we're going to take a picture. So we'll continue this. I told you I was going to lead you up right to where we would stand on the platform to help us all remember how they pronounced all of the blessings if they did it. So we're not asking you to affirm the old covenant this morning. We're asking you to be faithful to the new covenant by God's grace.